Welcome to She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine, a podcast made just for you. Your host is Felicia Stitzel, world traveler and influencer, professional photographer, sommelier, Navy veteran, and mom. Tune in every Thursday for solo episodes where she shares her life story and a wine highlight. Pour yourself a glass and let's dive in.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of She Is Never Lost, But At Least She Has Wine. I am really excited to share the story and tips for today. Like I said, I'm starting to do some more insider tips as well as wine tips and stories. So now you're going to get a little bit more of an all-encompassing kind of aspect of all the things that I love and the things that I have spent years and years and years learning about and experiencing for myself. But before we dive into all of that, of course, I have to get started with the wine. The wine that I'm sharing for this week is Story Point 2017 Cabernet Sauvignon. This is from California. I absolutely adore the label on this wine, mostly because, you know, I'm a writer, I'm a blogger, but I also love the name of it, like Story Point. That, to me, speaks to me just because with photojournalism and blogging and podcasts and all of these things revolve around a story. We create the stories. We share the stories. Stories are how history is created and passed down from generation to generation before we had, you know, specific historians to document history. It was shared through stories around the fireplace or while traveling and cross-country trekking. All of those kinds of romantic images in your head, but in life was probably really terrible. But of course, you know, we had to evolve from somewhere, which is where we are now. So the wine, let me dig into the wine on this one, just for the nose. Wow. Man, okay, there is just, I love Cabernet Sauvignon. I love it from almost anywhere around the world that I have tasted a single varietal Cabernet Sauvignon. I love it. Obviously, with different terroirs from around the world and different degrees of the hemisphere, the one fruit is going to taste very different. So a Cabernet Sauvignon from California is going to taste very different from what I would taste here in Spain. Same thing with if I was to drink one from Argentina or Chile, and I then was to get a bottle of one from France. Their taste very, very differently. You've got a lot of changing factors in there. So I would love a Cabernet Sauvignon from California just because it has the deep, deep, dark tannins, your rich, dark fruit with some really good like baking spices like cinnamon and clove and a little vanilla. And this one, oh my gosh, it smells amazing. And then on this one, you also have fruits like blackberry and dark cherry. And then you've got some really, really dark red fruits like plum coming out of there as well. So with like an like super after smell from like that would be introduced from the barrels of like cocoa. So, man, this is it smells so good. Let's see if it is as good as it tastes. Man, absolutely. Sometimes you get wines that they don't actually taste the way that they smell or vice versa. And this one, oh my gosh, it nailed it. Nailed it. Really delicious. I'm definitely getting more of that cocoa on the end and a lot of that dark cherry, but a lot of the same notes that I was smelling and I was picking up with my nose are definitely showing themselves on my palate as well. All right, so now we're going to dive into a little tips and tricks. So in this particular podcast, I'm going to share about the top 6 tips for traveling with toddlers. Now, as many of you know, I have been traveling with my daughter her entire life. Granted, she has now grown out of that toddler phase and is technically a preschooler now. But all throughout her toddler years, we were traveling. We were either doing cross-country road trips in the United States. We did an overseas move, so we were traveling around Europe as much as we could. We went to Morocco twice, and then, of course, I then took her to, well, she wasn't quite a toddler. She wasn't 2 at the time, but, I mean, she's been all over the world, which means that I had a lot of trial and error points and things that I learned Some things I learned the easy way and I was like, wow, that really worked out. And some things I definitely learned the hard way. So buckle up and take some notes, because these tips, if you're wanting to travel with your children and they're little, like toddlers, and a lot of these actually are going to work out really well if you've got babies or even, you know, children of preschool age, these tips are still going to be applicable to you. Not always all of them, but still at least a good portion of them. Without further ado, I'll dive into tip number one. This one might sound silly because obviously, for the most part, anybody over the age of two needs to have their own seat anyways, but trust me, you want to get them their own seat. Always buy their own seat. Either you can upgrade to select for the toddler to either be, like, if they're still little enough to be in your lap, still elect to buy them their own seat, or travel with an airlines that, if they have the space, will reserve you an extra seat next to you so that way you can have the space. The first time I ever saw this happen was when my dad and I and my daughter, we all went to Laos and Vietnam. On our way there, we were cram packed and she was not wanting to sleep. I was the one mom walking up and down the aisles. Thankfully, she wasn't screaming. She just didn't want to sleep either. And all I wanted to do was sleep. On the way back, though, all of our flights that we had on the way back, we had an airline who specifically reserved a seat next to us to remain available unless they got way overbooked. And that way Harmony could have her own seat next to me without me having to pay for it. A lot of the airlines that are partnered with Star Alliance actually do this quite frequently, especially if you're doing a cross-continental flight. If you're traveling around, you know, from one side of America to the other, you may or may not get this, especially with, you know, how flights are being so crazy right now. So keep that in mind. But for me, trust me, after dozens of hours of traveling, you're going to want your own space. And I have tested this multiple times because eventually you're just like, get away from me. I love you, but get away from me. So needless to say, it's going to save you a lot of headache and heartache when they can just kind of have their own space, because they don't want to be touched all the time either. So eventually you two might get sick of one another and you just kind of need to have your own space, which is where that extra seat is going to come in really, really clutch. And of course, flying with a baby or a toddler is always stressful enough without having to have like the passengers behind you sighing and judging and making sly comments or just being all huff and gruff about it because they don't want to be the one to travel next to a baby. And then you're trying to get your seat buckled and then they have like the extra extender seat buckler for the babies who are sitting in your lap. And then it's just crazy. And trust me, it just works out a little bit better for them to have their own space. Tip number two, this one seems to be a little less popular, but in the long run, it's going to save you a lot of heartache. Book flights with longer layovers. I know, I'm going to say that again. Book flights with longer layovers. Like, we're not talking you need to add an 8-hour layover in there. Obviously, that's way too much. Unless you're going through customs, in which case that might be cutting it close still, depending on which customs area you go through. But running from one side of the airport to the other while you're laden down with stuff, I've had this before where I've had the daughter in the backpacker carrier that I had. I didn't have a stroller. I had my camera on my front. My arms were full of stuff. I was dropping blankets because I had to run from one area of the terminal all the way across to the other. Well, I was just praying that I didn't spill my coffee on everything, which I did end up doing because I desperately needed coffee. The flight didn't offer coffee and I needed to function because I I'm very much so like the Gilmore Girls where I needed an IV bag just to walk around with. Like, if I could do that without being worried about, you know, blood poisoning or anything else crazy like that, I probably would. So book flights with longer layovers, and this is going to help you just take it easy, because if you start freaking out and are stressed out, then they're going to start freaking out. And of course, this is, I mean, it's almost like a guarantee. As soon as you have to rush from one side of the airport to the other, and let's say you don't have a backpacker or you don't have a stroller or you didn't want to undo the stroller because you have to fold it back up again and you just wanted to be able to, you know, kind of rush, run, walk with the baby across the terminal.
Well, then that just always seems to be the time that they decide they're going to have a freaking meltdown. And suddenly you're just like, what is going on with my life? And you're just sitting there kicking yourself and wanting to cry and slump on the floor with the coffee all over you and just die a little on the inside. Sound really familiar? Yeah, because I've been there. So this is why I suggest this. If you even have just enough time so that way everybody can get off the plane, you can easily stroll your way across the airport. You've got time to go to the bathroom, put your stuff down for a minute, change diapers or clothes if you need to. It just gives you a little extra breather time because that's also good as a heaven forbid the flight is running late. You've got the one person in front of you who just refuses to move at a faster pace as you're trying to get off the plane because they somehow, despite airlines regulations, has 9 bags on there. I get it and I've been there. This is why I recommend this tip. All right, next one, renting the baby equipment. So in my daughter's entire life, we have only traveled with a car seat 4 times. That's it, 4 times. And that's because I can rent her equipment. There's this company called BabyQuip. When we went back to the States last April, we actually rented a car seat. We rented a baby bed. We rented her bedding to go with it. And that way we didn't have to bring any of that stuff with us. And when we were staying at my husband's family's house, we didn't have to worry about putting them out either. So really, it is glorious. This is something that is more specific for the United States. I do think that there are other companies like this. Or even if you were to rent, because you can go to the car rental places and just rent a car seat. You don't have to rent a car from them and rent a car seat. You can actually just or go to the airlines themselves, and as long as you're flying in and out of the same airport, you can borrow one of their car seats too. So there's a lot of tips around not having to travel everywhere with your car seats because they're bulky, they're heavy, you don't want to deal with them. Heaven forbid they lose one of them because that happened to us once. It becomes way more stressful, but you can have cribs, car seats, high chairs, toys, all kinds of those other things. And companies like BabyQuip, they can deliver it to your destination airport for you to pick up as soon as you get there, a hotel, or like what we had, it was delivered to great grandma's house. So it just made our lives way easier. Information for that specific company, I will put in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. It's such a lifesaver and it saves you a lot of money. Like long term, it does kind of add up if you're doing like really, really long trips, but it still does save you quite a bit of money. All right, this is kind of a duh factor, but always bring extras. Tip number 4, always bring extras. There was once where I did not bring an extra of anything because we were going to do a short flight, and I regretted all of my life choices after that. We are flying back home from spending Christmas and my daughter's birthday in Illinois with my husband's family, and around the holiday season, a lot of the airlines, if they have the space, will upgrade people with children or service members. And since we fall under both of those, we were able to get upgraded first class back home. Now, we are only flying from Chicago to Boise. This is not a crazy long flight. But my husband had gotten sick over the holidays, and then my daughter had ended up getting sick. Well, she wasn't eating. So I was like, all right, you know, she needs to just get like a little bit in her. And at the time, I still had those like little pouches of food. Like the fruit and the veggies, and there's some that you can get with like meat in them too, like turkey and squash or Thanksgiving dinner, or they have all kinds of them. I mean, these things are genius. I actually like having them for myself now, but that's because it's me. So the one time I was like, dude, we're at the end of our trip. We basically have no more clean clothes. I did not pack a clean change of clothes for myself because I'm like, oh, you know, we're just headed back home. Like I don't need some extra clothes. I had some for her as a just in case, but even the extra clothes I had for her were pretty minimal because of being at the end of the trip. This is the time that my daughter decided to have a full exorcism puking all over me. And I'm telling you what, the girl aimed for the girls straight down my cleavage, this purple, thick bile everywhere. And I had no clothes. thankfully, the airline attendant, who, bless his heart, was just like, what can I do? I was just like, I need some towels. I need to go to the bathroom. And I need to have two Jack and Coke sitting here by the time I get back. Or one double, up to you. And he goes, okay. And so I excuse myself. I go clean up in the bathroom. But of course, I don't have a change of shirt. So thankfully, my husband had a hoodie with him. And the airline attendant ended up bringing me his hoodie while I was in the bathroom. So I could at least have a shirt on because, oh my gosh. Since then, I always travel with at least an extra change of undergarments and a shirt. Just in case you get laid over somewhere, a flight gets canceled and you have to get put up in a hotel or you have to sleep in the terminal. Always good to cover down for yourself. So this tip is more traveling for with toddlers, but also for you. Bring extras for them, bring extras for you. I'm telling you, it might take up a little bit more room in your diaper bag or your backpack, but it's super important. Second to last tip, and this one I feel like is the most important. I want you to ignore the haters. Ignore them. Forget them. Don't worry about them. You want to know why? Because they are not living your life. You're living your life. It drives me crazy when I get onto a plane, and I've had this my daughter's entire life, and I've seen other people do it to other moms and parents traveling, my whole life traveling. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes the baby just isn't happy. You could be anywhere in the world. You could be in your own home. And guess what? Sometimes the baby just isn't happy. And that's okay. They are going through a lot of changes and emotions and milestones, and they might be teething or growing or whatever. And you could be in your own home and they could be throwing a fit, going crazy. It's okay. If that happens at home, at the grocery store, in the car, on the airplane, it's going to happen. All right, there's no avoiding it. But instead, it's how you respond to it. Because I know and I have seen so many parents, you know, duck their heads in shame and, you know, lose it or cry or just look really defeated. And it's like, this is me telling you, and imagine if I was doing this as the person sitting behind you on the plane. It's like, you know what? You got this. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job because you chose to do it. You chose to get on the flight. You chose to go travel. You chose to be able to do that with your children at whatever age they are. Whether your first time that you travel with your kids, they're 15 or they're 5 months old, it doesn't matter. You had the courage to do it. Forget everybody else. Don't make yourself crazy worrying about what other people think. You have enough going on inside of your situation, which is traveling with children, to worry about little Mr. Cranky Pants on the plane. Like, forget it. Don't worry about it. So ignore the haters. And just remember, it's not that long of a flight, hopefully. And eventually you'll be safely on the land and you'll be out and ready to explore or visit with family or whatever it is that you're going to be doing on your trip. Just do it. And it's okay. It really is okay. And lastly, just enjoy yourself. Traveling is an adventure. Or if you have heard my daughter's nursery rhyme CDs that we listen to constantly in the car, it says, traveling is a treat. And what's funny is there was one time where my daughter was singing that in the backseat, and she goes, Mommy, traveling's not a treat? I was like, oh, baby, yes, it is. Because, and I explained to her, I was like, look, the traveling is a treat. What the life that you've been able to live up to this point is incredible. You have all of the privileges in the world to you because Mommy makes travel a priority for us and for our family. That's not always the case. I was like, but Mommy makes it the case because, especially living where we do now, we like to travel. And there are so many opportunities available to us living in Europe that we do it and we take it. And especially after COVID and living with all the changes and the crap that's going on here, I have learned that you take every single opportunity when it comes, no matter what, because you never know when that opportunity is going to slam shut. So you know what? My last tip is enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the journey. A lot of, you know, of course, we've all heard it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Well, for travel, it's both. You have to love, embrace, and hate the journey when it's a struggle all at the same time. Because if it's so easy all the time, when it does become a struggle, you sit there and think, oh my gosh, I'm never doing this again. But if you're conditioned to deal with the struggles, and then when it's smooth, you're like, oh, this is so easy. I'm so grateful for this. It's all about changing your mind, changing your perspective, embracing the challenges, and not letting them defeat you. And if you're able to do all of that, there is nothing that can stop you. So enjoy the journey. Enjoy the ride. And remember that every opportunity can be a learning opportunity. So take it. Or survive it, whichever one you need to be in that moment. But just remember, ultimately, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode. And be sure to subscribe, stay tuned, and tune in next week.